Matthew chapter 10, we see there at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus summons the 12 disciples to him, and he tells them he gave them authority over unclean spirits and to cast out and heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness, to heal the lame. But then he tells them before he sends them out, there's a hard road ahead of you. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Listen, your brothers are going to turn you over to the authorities. Sister will turn against sister, brother against brother, and even child against parents. And he goes on to tell them the meaning of their discipleship. And he tells them, do not be afraid, do not fear them, for soon all will be revealed. And even though they may take your life, they cannot kill the soul. And he just urges them not to be afraid. And in verse 29, he tells them, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet one of them will not fall to the ground, and your Father will not know about it? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now let's fast forward to the upper room. Jesus there again with his disciples, and he institutes the Last Supper, which we are observing today. And he tells them that the shepherd will be struck down and the sheep will scatter. And as he tells them these things, and after they sing a hymn and they go out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus tells them, you all will fall away because of me. This night it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even all may fall away because of you. I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing too. We know how the story goes. Later that evening, Jesus was arrested, taken for trial. And Peter, there standing outside the courtyard, is confronted by a little girl who comes to him and said, you were with the Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to him, you were there. This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. A little later, the bystanders came and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. You think at that moment Peter remembered the words that Jesus said, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Most often when we think about the concept of confession, we generally think about the admittance of a wrongdoing or guilt. Some in the religious world have taken this concept and this practice of confessing their sins to a man, and they use it to hold power over people, that confessing their sins to a priest who they perceive can forgive their sins, and authority and power only reserved for our Heavenly Father. No man can forgive the sins committed against God. If we look in the Hebrew and Greek language, the primary word used in the Greek language for confess is homologo, which simply means to say the same thing or to agree with, admit, or acknowledge. The primary word in Hebrew for confess is yada, which means to know or to make known. We can see both of these words scattered throughout the scriptures and how important and powerful confession is in the believer's walk with Christ. Paul quotes Moses in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 when he says to the church in Rome, "In our hearts we believe, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth we confess, resulting in salvation." What confession is Paul referring to here? Well, it may be twofold. John wrote in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confessing of our sins does not bring about salvation, but we see there must be a cleansing, and that would be our immersion in Christ. We confess that we are a sinner. We know that we need a Savior. We are lost and destined to a godless hell without Him. The sins in which Jesus bore on the cross are sins. The other part of that confession is referenced in numerous passages. In Hebrews 3:1, we see it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a holy calling, consider Jesus the apostle as high priest of our confession." In Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Hebrews 4:14 says, "Let us hold fast to our confession." 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, "They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel." 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The good confession. Would that be the confession of our sins? I think not. But what is that good confession? That confession you made in the presence of many witnesses. Remember what that Greek word emphasizes. It says to say the same thing or to agree. Who did you say the same thing as, or who do you agree with? Hopefully, we agree with our brothers and sisters in Christ and those of like precious faith. But you agreed with somebody more powerful, someone whose words and actions are the bedrock and foundation of our faith. 1 Timothy 6:13 sheds some light on this thought. And he says, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and to Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate." There we see that good confession once again. What was this good confession that Jesus spoke in front of Pontius Pilate? We just sang the words in the song. We've heard it said before that Jesus stood before his accusers silent. That's not exactly true. There was two things he said, and they're powerful. Jesus was standing before the high priest in the Sanhedrin, and they said to him, "We adjure you by the living God that you tell us that you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to them, "You have said it yourselves. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus, before the high priest, before the Sanhedrin, confessed to be the Son of the living God. And it says here that they tore their robes. They could not deal with the good confession. The next morning, Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate being questioned, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus simply said, "It is as you say." This was the good confession that Jesus spoke, and that is the good confession we proclaimed in the presence of many witnesses on the day that we were saved. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." We come here today to make a confession of our words and our actions that Jesus not only died, but he rose again, and we will proclaim his death until he comes again. We are making that good confession once again in the presence of many witnesses. And as we partake of these emblems which represent his body and his blood, let's think about that good confession. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time, Lord, in which we could gather together, Lord, around your Son's table. And we just thank you, God, so much for this time, Lord, that we can remember and that we can reflect and recall the things, Lord, in which he did for us on Calvary, Lord, and that he was raised from the dead on that third day, Lord, and that he bore the sins of many, that he bore the sins of each and every one of us on the cross, Lord. And we just thank you, God, so much for your love that you have shown for us. We are so sorry, Lord, for the times that we may deny you. Just please, Lord, help us to hold fast to that good confession, Lord, and proclaim you each and every day by the things we do and the things that we say. And please, Lord, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. And in Jesus' name, amen.